Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. In the name of Jesus. While the last two previous parables deal with the church, this one applies to all humanity. Here Christ is the King who has already ascended to his throne of glory and is surrounded by his heavenly host. Humanity separates before him. And there are only two possibilities. Either one is placed on his right or his left side. But there should be no doubt where one belongs. For there will be no trial or court hearing, only the sentence pronounced. A sentence that stands fast without any chance of appeal. And this judgment, though, does not negate salvation by grace alone, nor receiving the forgiveness of sins in faith. The decisive attitude is one's attitude about Jesus and how you respond to one of the least of his brothers, that is, all siblings in the faith. And what one does to his or her brother, one does to Christ. They are branches in his vine. Those outside of Christ are not a part of his branch or members of his body, as Paul expresses later in his epistles. That is why Jesus says, "One of the least of these, my brothers," in verse 40. You cannot be a sibling of Christ if you are not a child of God. Many interpreters miss that point. The part that says, "The who are the least of these." They ask, "Who are the least of these?" And it's there in that first saying of Jesus, those that are my brothers and sisters in Christ. You do something to them, you do it to Christ, because they are little Christ, Christians. So this passage doesn't give us insight about those who have never heard of Jesus, nor meeting any one of them as a brother. And why is that? Because what Jesus says is never philosophical or theoretical. His words are always directed at his audience, and they say something that appeals to their salvation. He therefore has not willed to tell us what other possibilities there are for salvation. And that is why Ezekiel can say today that it is the Lord himself that will do the searching for his sheep and seek them out. We oftentimes look for too many things directed to outsiders of the church in the scriptures. But the Bible was written in the church for the church. In Jesus' whole ministry, he mainly spoke to those who would become believers, mostly Jews. Remember, he says to the Phoenician woman that he came to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. And yes, she was a Gentile. And yes, that meant the door was opening for us Gentiles. But how? Eventually through the church. And that is why Christ bestows upon his Spirit upon us after his ascension, to then be him to the Gentiles, the outsiders and the outcasts, a light to the Gentiles, that they may get him too, like we have. Those who are sick need a hospital and a hospice. And that is evermore Christ's church, his humble abode and hostel for the lost and wayward. But the King of Kings will judge and bring judgment just as much as he comes to us and rescues us. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. He rescues from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Have you ever had one of those days? Sometimes in the Lord's working, his mysterious ways, he will allow us to succumb to those dark places in order to seek us out. And such a time is often needed for people to realize that they are lost and need saving. It is the Lord that feeds, the Lord that seeks, and it is the Lord who brings back. He judges alone, and it is my call here in his stead to inform you that he is the Lord, and he has spoken. It is the for you that we are to be clearly informed about. So what's left to wrestle with then? What's left to wrestle with in this world is doubt. And that's why it says, as the shepherd separates, an example for us, as the shepherd makes boundaries, the sheep from the goats. So as the shepherd means it was common to do at that time. It was a common evening time also thing to do, the separation of the goats. You know, the goats get susceptible to the coolness of the night. The sheep don't, so they need to be separated. So as a shepherd is giving us an example, like shepherds do. And the culture of that time had lots of shepherds, so the people knew what Jesus was talking about. The Lord Jesus, who also had his voice and his hands in creating all things and all creatures, great and small, you see, even uses animals who are lesser than man to give lessons to man. We must see intangible objects like doors, trees, fish, and bird, sky, moon, rain, and fields, that everything in all creation testifies to the manifold wisdom of our Lord and Savior, and is before us every day to teach us about our Maker more and more and fuller and fuller. And that way you could say that the mysteries of the faith are right in front of us, smack dab staring us in the eye. And that is why all creation groans, as we read from Romans chapter 8, and has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, it says, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Paul goes on to say, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. All creation longs to be restored, restored back to Eden and the way it was in its perfected state. And the earth will be restored that way, and the sons of God will live as Adam and Eve did before the fall on earth forevermore. And that is why a separation must occur. In the garden, the unclean thing crept in. But in the kingdom come, which is Eden restored, there will never be again an unclean thing that will be able to enter it. The Lord who reigns will cast them all asunder, never to be released or let out again. And folks, this is why we rejoice in our sufferings, the pangs of life, for a short time. But now back to the goats. Little information on them. Goats need to stay dry and undercover, out of the wind. So if you ever wonder why farmers separate sheep and goats, it is mainly because they have different nutritional needs, social behaviors, and are susceptible to diseases. So allowing them to intermingle can lead to conflicts, inadequate diet, and illness. While both animals are domesticated livestock and have been raised together for centuries, their inherent traits and preferences can lead to conflicts if they are not kept apart. Sheep prefer to graze in groups, while goats like to go off on their own, and so the commingling can result in insufficient food needs. The food needs of the church, the sheep, likewise, are different than the outside roamers. One lives off the ground, the other lives off the Word of God. So now as I am explaining modern-day farmers, farmers of livestock, that is the same equivalent of a shepherd and what they did. Sheep and goats. You know, they even have different reproductive cycles, so that by separating them, the shepherds could manage their breeding cycles and timing a lot better. But all that said, it may still appear that the final judgment needs a panic button for you to push. Doubt may set in. It rattles the nerves as if you must take a test in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, a final exam of sorts. And in such standardized tests, conventional wisdom, at least as it has developed through the decades in the military, gives the tests taken for advancement. This is the example I'm using. They provide a way of preventing leaving an answer blank. It's mostly known in the military, and that is what is known as the when in doubt, Charlie out rule. Phonetically, Charlie spells out the letter C. And each letter in the alphabet in the military lines of communication has a standard phonetic word for each letter in order to make sure that what is being communicated is heard correctly. The when in doubt Charlie out then is a guess at what multiple choice answer to put in when you do not know it. If you have racked your brain and just do not know, you fill in the letter C for the choice on the test. It's a blind guess when time is running out. And although blind guesses are the worst kind, it provides a panic button for students to gamble on better odds than not marking an answer whatsoever at all. I admit I have used this method on a placement test before, and as I recall, it did not help that much. But I did get promoted and passed the advancement and rank exam, but not so because I did the when in doubt, Charlie out method. Thankfully, I did know enough of the answers that I didn't guess on to make it through that passing grade. Oftentimes, tests become so hard that failure seems inevitable. The anxiety is nerve-wracking, and thinking about the judgment or the outcome can elevate stress levels to an unhealthy level, and that is not good. And school student-age children, I pause now to make a disclaimer that no pastor is not saying you do this on your test in school ever. I knew a fellow shipmate who took his pencil and he marked it with an A, B, C, D, E on the ridges side of it, each one of them. And he would roll it along the table. And I'm on the other side and looking at this, what's going on? After the test, I asked him what he was doing. And he told me that the answers he had no clue on, that he would roll that pencil. And whatever letter it landed on, that's what choice he made. That was very comical to me and probably why I remember this whole method. But it is not words of wisdom to do. It is better to study with students who are in your class beforehand, together, to prepare better for the test together, and in like community that way. And like the gospel for today, you wouldn't study for your test with a different group, other outside of those who are in your class, taking the same exam, would you? Jesus, who is Christ the King, knows when we are in doubt. He knows all our troubles and anxieties, and he is wisdom, and he gives us a way out, a way not to have to panic. He also gives us Christian symbols and his name to remind us and study him with. He gives us his name and he gives us his words. So Christ starts with the letter C. So if you want to use the when in doubt, Charlie out method for life and salvation, then choose him. The letter C every time. One of the church's, early church's Christian symbols is what is called the Kiro. It stands for the CH in Christ and with an added Ra for Ra, Christ, that sound that spells out Christ. It is the Greek letters X and P. Those looking letters in English look like an X and a P. And this early Christian symbol, the X is the chi sound and the P is the R sound in the Greek New Testament alphabet. So the symbol, you probably have seen this somewhere along your Christian walk if you've seen a lot of Christian symbols. And you might have seen that one with the big P and then there's an X over the line down of the P. That's the Kiro. That's the Christian image and it's a piece of art for remembering Christ and his name. He is the Kiro. And if you roll on him and his name, you can be assured that you will be one of the ones on his right side, the Charlie way out. It is his family name, the name he feeds you with, his name that shelters you. It puts you inside his right boundary. And that is because Christ is shepherd, Christ is farmer, and Christ is also sheep. He is the lamb who was slain, became the least, became sin for you, and in that way also became the goat who descended into hell on your behalf, the left side of the kingdom of God, and was sacrificed, cut off, imprisoned in darkness for you. Christ definitely knows what it's like to be hungry. He even knows what it's like to be naked as he hung that way on the cross. And yeah, he went there in order to minister to the world and all its powers and strongholds, because of what sin caused. And you know, doubt equates to the question, but Lord, when did we see you that way? Unbelief, which leads to separation, does not see the Lord that way. Christ, the Kiro, crucified, died, buried, and arose on the third day. But you, the flock of Christ, do and should, and even beyond the last day and judgment, will, as the Apostle John writes in Jesus' revelation, that he sees the Lamb who was slain, where those who brought to his great right side will also see the Lamb and remember him forevermore. So therefore, I will declare unto you, when in doubt, do Charlie out in that way, given and shed for you. Do not doubt, do not panic, do not roll the dice on which side you are called to. He has promised to place you by his side, in your baptism, in his word, and by continually coming down to serve you himself. And he is no panic button, but he is the fail-safe of the life of the world to come. You pull on him, tug on him, and he will sustain you. So this, the final judgment, as this is the last Sunday in the church year, it is an attribute of Christ and his great reversal. The prophecy of Isaiah 53 fulfilled, as a lamb led to the slaughter. Jesus, the lamb sheep, became separated on the cross, so that at the last day, when he does that final separation, us, his lambs, get to go on the right side. And in light of that great exchange, the final judgment, in the eyes of the siblings of Christ, should be exciting to you. It's an exciting thing. So yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, this is exciting stuff. This is exciting stuff. The cross has said it all. The forgiveness of sins on it and the resurrection give him the power to put the lambs on the right side. So there is gospel in the final judgment, figuratively and literally. He became the least of you in order that he might graze you anew, without sickness or disease on the last day. So it is a celebratory thing. And though our human finite minds may not grasp that fact or be able to wrap our heads around it, the feast spoken of Jesus and his kingdom is proof that it's going to be a celebration, a new year. Now that another church year has passed, this side of eternity, and we start anew next week in the circle of life, the church calendar, unless the Father's will is to send him back for his final advent before then. But even so, with angels and archangels, we will continue the calendar of the Lamb evermore, praising him, nearest to him as can be, not departed, not left to doubt. And that is why the church, the big C, at crunch time, another big C, will Charlie or Chiro out unto life everlasting. And the only place you will depart is in peace. We are no longer separated, but gathered here on the Lord's day. And that is why I say to you, my brothers and sisters, in that day and in that way, you will depart in his peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen.